Good morning, New York. I'm so glad to see everybody, or I'm so glad to be seen by everybody. But I see your comments over here, and it's exciting. It really is. And my talk today is called Lift Up Your Foot. And that comes from a conversation I was having with someone who repeatedly has the same issue, hence repeatedly. And so to look at the, and it has to do with parental stuff. And what I realized through this conversation, I said, you have put your foot down about your parents, and you're not going to pick it up until they undo it. And I think that's pretty accurate. And they agreed. They saw it. And it's like, oh, my foot is firmly planted. Put my foot down, and I'm not picking it up. And so I called the talk, pick up your foot, because your parents aren't going to undo it. Your parents are not going to change it. They're dead, for one thing. But they were alive. They weren't doing it. And so the only one that can lift up our foot is ourselves. And so to begin to look at things differently. And there's an old study. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. I'm only relatively newly familiar with it this year. A friend of mine who is a Franciscan brother, and he used a term that I had not heard before. It's not one that is thrown around Unity much, and it's called metanoia. And I don't know if you are familiar with the term metanoia, but the Greek word, it's metanoia, is translated as repentance. But repentance means to change your mind. And so many of us, we need to change our mind about so much, about everything. Real, well, no, not necessarily everything. If you truly love God, then you're doing fine. And a lot of people would say, oh, I love God so much. And I think of the old teaching, the Jesus' two commandments, love God and love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's three teachings, but it's love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of people do not love their neighbor very much, whether their neighbor lives nearby or lives in another state or town or lives in the news or whatever. They're still your neighbor and still your brother and your sister. And it's, oh, I love God, but I hate him. Well, you can't hate your brother, your sister, and love God. It's, you can't have both. It's like you can't be poor and rich at the same time. And you can't be healthy and sick at the same time. So we have to start looking at that and say, oh, then something's got to change. And it's my mind. It's my mind that has to change, whether it's about money, whether it's about coronavirus, whether it's about my health, whether it's about you, whether it's about them, whether it's about my body. I've got, and especially about God and love and what God is. And so let's establish right here, right now in our consciousness, God is, well, God is. And then what is God? God is love itself. God is peace itself, joy itself. God is omnipresence, meaning God is presence itself. It doesn't mean God is present, but God is presence itself, even though you may, before this day ends, hear me say that God is present in the presence. So God is presence itself. God is omniscient. God is intelligence. It's our knowledge itself. God is omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. God is power itself. And so to realize God is the itself. It isn't that God has these qualities that are sometimes present and sometimes not. God is. God is. And so go from there. God is. Can't not be. And so if you have any doubts about that, it's time to practice the metanoia, which is repent. And, you know, you hear repent, ye sinners. What that means is quit missing the mark and get on the mark. Sin is to miss the mark, fall short of the ideal. Well, start stepping up into the ideal. It's really so simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's really so very simple. And if I'm not happy with what I see, I have to see it differently. As Eric Butterworth used to say, don't set a thing right, see it rightly. The only way I know how to do that is to go within and say, okay, spirit, their highest voice, Christ mind within me, whatever you want to call it, and say, I want to see this correctly because I'm making up a story. And the story I'm making up doesn't give me peace at all. I'm not experiencing all the joy that God is. I'm not experiencing the love that God is. And I want to very much. So I have to get on board with shifting and changing. And I have to be willing to experience the discomfort within my mind, within my body sometimes, when I surrender over to what is true, what is accurate, and when I surrender over to that, then I might be uncomfortable, but boy, it is so worth it. I might also become wonderfully, just wonderfully free, you know, unfettered, as it were. Lori, you have to love God. Don't worry about Trump and Hitler. Love God. Love God. Love God. Love God. Keep on getting on board with God. Ask God what to think about Trump and Hitler. Ask God what to think about the neighbor down the street who's a creep. Ask God to think about what to think about everyone. Don't worry about the personalities and the actions of these beings on this planet. You know, so many people bring up Trump and Hitler. Nobody ever asked me what to think about Pharaoh. You know, and it was the same thing. That there have been tyrants and tyranny and murders and all sorts of stuff from the beginning. And we often attach ourselves to a personality. But what about dis-ease? Do we hate dis-ease? It takes just a lot of lives and puts people through hell. And yet, I don't think it occurs to us to hate it. We fear it, but I don't know that many of us think to hate it the way we, you know, to use these. We've taken certain personalities and using them as an exception to God, and we can't afford to do that anymore. Practice your metanoia, you know, to repent. Don't worry about what they're doing right now. Your job is to take on the love that God is, because you are God's beloved child, and you are to demonstrate that. We are here to prove God now. Prove it. Prove it true. Prove it all the time. But you got to go within, though, and say, what is God? Love, God. What is love? And how do I practice it? You know, this spirituality thing, it's a 24/7 job. It really is to practice, not to become a minister, but to become a practitioner. Because first we have to learn how to be a practitioner, and then we have to be a constant practitioner in our practice. So that means we got to keep lifting up the foot. You see, you can't have any exceptions where you put your foot down. I put my foot down about this. It won't pay off the way you might have been hoping. It won't give you peace. It won't give you joy. It will not give you what is your divine inheritance. And so, to get back on board with the metanoia, the repentance, and I'm going to read this little thing to you, and it says, which has been interpreted as to mean an admission to God of sorrow for past sin. So let's look at that first. Metanoia is translated repentance, which has been interpreted to mean admission to God of sorrow for past sin. And I have been known to apologize to God, not because God needs an apology. God hasn't judged me. God isn't mad at me. God's not concerned about stuff. But it does mean that I'm owning up, and I have a certain amount of regret for missing the mark and the willingness to maintain the missing of the mark. But then it goes on here to say, and a resolve to be good in the future, to be well-behaved. Oh my goodness, no wonder so many of us grew up as frightened children. But what that means is a resolve to be conscious in the future, to align my conscious mind with my superconscious mind or my Christ mind. The field of action for that which has been assumed to be the goodness in the sight of God has nearly always been in conduct. I like that the whole Christian world has, in a measure, failed to discern the teaching of the New Testament about mental laws. And the mental laws is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Now, we go on to talk about John the Baptist. And there is a reason for that, because the baptism, the mental baptism, and according to the Bible, it was a physical baptism that represents a spiritual baptism. And so a proper translation of the mission of John the Baptist is, he came into all the region round about Jordan, preaching immersion in mentation, meaning metanoia, for the doing away with shortcoming. So metanoia means change of mind, middle mind, transformation of the mind, change of thought, and purpose. Baptism means to immerse in an element, any element, to a complete saturation. One can be immersed in a transformed mind as well as in water. Therefore, it is plain that the mission of John was to bring about a change of mind. The fundamental idea is not so much sorrow as a change. A change, however, be it observed, not merely of conduct, but of the thinking and mortal part of man. In connection with this, you know, you can look up baptism, look up metanoia, look up repent. But in the original Greek, repent means change your mind. And that's made all the difference for me. I mean, even in transforming any type of physical illness, any sickness, I have changed my mind and poof, I am all of a sudden feeling so much better. Myrtle Fillmore, when she changed her mind, you remember, she was very sick. She was given a few months to live, according to the doctor. And she started praying, and she apologized the one time for calling herself sick. And then she began to praise God, praise her body. And then one day, you know, it's like, oh, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and I don't feel well. I feel really sick. My lungs seem to be filled up with liquid here and stuff. If you want to know the whole story, read Myrtle Fillmore's books. And, but she prayed, said, what am I to do here? And get the voice, open up all the windows and clean the house. And, but I'm sick. Open up all the windows and clean the house. You see, and suddenly she had to repent, as it were, or change her mind to say, I prayed, I got an answer, let me see how it works. So she opened the windows, she cleaned the house, top to bottom, and by the end of the day, she had perspired all of that out of her, and her lungs were clear again, and she could breathe. And she went on, you know, with her daily prayer life. Still took the completion of the 2 years and nobody told her it was going to be 2 years. That's just how it worked out. No sickness in her, no tuberculosis and what have you. So a lot of people now are rethinking COVID. A lot of people are healing from it, and I know not everyone is, but perhaps their healing is to make their transition. I don't know. I don't know everyone's journey, but I'm seeing a lot of people go from being sick to not sick. That's what I'm seeing. They're experiencing certain things, respiratory failure and what have you. And since this is a respiratory thing, you might want to look at how much do you hold your breath? In anxiety, how much nervous holding a breath do you do? So you start to shut things down, and whatever's there just grips. I used to be, when I did lights and sound, I used to hold my breath. When I did the lights before they announced my name at the end, because I almost always got a thank you for what I did for lights and sound. It's a thing you do in cabaret. And I would hold my breath, seeing if they would remember, and to see if they would pronounce my last name right. I'd be gripped in my booth. And one day I caught myself, I said, I am holding my breath over something that means so little. But I was afraid of how I would feel if they mispronounced my name or if they forgot me. Because I was very self-centered. And I would be gripped until I was really, really studying my Unity stuff. And I realized, you don't have to grip, Sean. They'll announce it or they won't, and you'll feel how you feel about it. they will pronounce it correctly or they won't, and you will feel how you feel about it. So I began to practice breathing during the announcements, during the thank yous, so that I was fully present and alive and awake during it. And some days they did remember, and some days they forgot, you know, they're going through it. But that's just a small example of the amount of things I have held my breath for in my life, protecting myself for how I might feel if it went wrong or if it went right. When I did lights, I won a few awards. I went for many years without being nominated and not winning. And so I would hold my breath every year to protect myself from being hurt. And then one day I realized, I don't have to. I don't have to. I remember the second time I won, it took 11 years, 11 nominations to win my first one. And then I won a few years in a row. But I remember the second year I won, and I'm walking down the aisle to go up and accept my award. And I remember thinking, I wonder if I'll win next year. I was already protecting myself for a planned rejection for the following year. And I caught myself. I said, oh, Sean, how silly you are. But look at your damage and look at your practice. And you say, I want to be a great spiritual practitioner. So it comes back again to metanoia. Change my mind. Change my mind. Agree with God. Change my egoic mind and agree with God. And I'm going to talk about one last thing here so that we can try to get on grip here, you know, lift my foot. But there's a prayer in the 12-step tradition or 12-step fellowship that the second line is, God, relieve me of the bondage of self. And Emily Cady, in Lessons of Truth, the first chapter is Bondage or Liberty, Which? Now, I didn't understand that prayer for the longest time. The first part says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self. And I thought, what is the bondage of self? And for many years, I was satisfied with just simply thinking, the bondage of self was my thinking that someone wants to hurt me or I want to hurt someone else. And it's in more recent years of my healing. And I've been practicing, doing a healing practice for a lot of years. And there's always so much more to grow, as all of you know. But I looked at bondage of self. Oh, that's me taking so much personally. I take the world personally as if I am under attack by the world and must defend myself. So it's not just thinking somebody wants to hurt me. It's me thinking that everything is about me. You know, sometimes people are just rude and it's still not about me. It's because they are hurting, they are in a panic, they are in their own bondage of self, and so they lash out at me or someone else, and I take it personally, and I'm learning more and more not to take it so personally. And what a relief that is. You see, I haven't had to put my foot down in order to, how dare you speak to me that way? Well, they spoke to me that way. We're still brothers and sisters. And so they spoke to me that way. It's getting easier and easier. And so the bondage of self is thinking that God's thinking about me all the time. It is me thinking God never thinks about me. It is thinking that this weather is so great and that my opinions on the weather matters. My opinions on the weather don't matter at all. It is me thinking and thinking and thinking and not thinking with God. Now, it's not that God is thinking. God is mind. God is divine mind. And within divine mind, I can get true thoughts, you know, things that don't change, so that I can be awake and present in every moment of every day. I just saw somebody right here, thy will, not mine, be done. But if you don't understand what thy will is, it means nothing. To me, God's will is to be happy, joyous, and free. So am I aligning my thoughts in order to be happy, joyous, and free? happy, joyous, and free. Oh, God's will is to be happy, joyous, and free. Okay, then I bet there's a lot of forgiveness work to be done in that. I bet there is a lot of rethinking or changing my mind in order to get in alignment with happy, joyous, and free. I bet there's a lot of alignment in my thinking so that if I should start to experience any type of ailment in my mind, in my body, in my money, in my relationships, sickness comes in a lot of different packages, that I can heal it. I can experience a great healing by seeking to align with God. Oh, okay, God. So the will of the Divine Mother, Father is to the divine parenting thought. It's not a person, but, you know, divine principle. That's the word I'm looking for. The will of divine principle is that all beings be happy, joyous, and free. Well, fine. I'll let that begin with me as well. You know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Well, let there be happy, joyous, and free. And let that begin with me. And may I be willing that all beings be happy, joyous, and free. And if it is because of me, fantastic. I just want to know, well, it can't be because of me, but if it's my example leads everyone who needs to change their mind, I'm okay with that. But that means I have to get on board and do the work I need to do. So thank you all so much. I'm so grateful. Unity of New York.